Okay, I also this morning extend a Christian greeting and thank God for all of you, for the congregation here and for you visitors. And I welcome you to this part of the service and my prayers that God would just continue to minister to all of our hearts from His Word. Could we just all stand for another word of prayer and stretch ourselves a little bit and just ask the Lord for His presence with us. Lord God, we thank You for Your presence with us today. Thank You for Thy Word. Thy Word says it's not in man to direct his own steps. No, Lord, we need direction. We need Your help. So we thank You for the Word of God and for the Holy Spirit that You've given us to guide us into all truth. And may this portion of the service, I just pray that the Holy Spirit will illuminate Thy truth in only the way You can. Lord, it's not in me, but we trust You for this, thanking You for Thy Word, and thank You for the congregation here and for the visitors today. Just bless our time together. But we do ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The message I would like to share with you today is the title I've given is Faith or Feelings. Faith or Feelings. Why faith or feelings? Well, faith is what honors God. It just does. And the Bible is clear. In Hebrews, it would tell us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He is a rewarder to those that seek Him. So there we see. And Proverbs 3 verse 5 would tell us that trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not onto thine own understanding. So God wants you and me to trust Him at all times in whatever circumstances we go through, to continually to look to Him, to trust Him in those times, maybe times in the valley. Lean not onto your own understanding would mean onto your own reasonings. And that's where your feelings can come in. I feel this way. So your feelings can take you off course. And it does in Christendom today. Does it not? And we feel those temptations too at times. But we need to come back to the Word of God. That is the reference point that will get you safely to your desired haven of rest, is God's Word, not your feelings. Your feelings can take you on a roller coaster ride. If that, your feelings and the Word of God. Yes, God has created us, you and me, with feelings, with emotions, and thank God for them. But they may not navigate you. Or you may not let them steer your faith, your walk of life. It will take you off course. Feelings, things that can affect your feelings would be offenses, disappointments, pain, losses. Maybe the loss of a loved one. rejection, church problems, loneliness, sickness, persecutions, fear. Fear is a feeling? Yes. And that can, like Brother James shared in his message last Sunday, that caused the King Jeroboam to do something that led Israel to sin because of fear. So fear, likewise, that feeling of fear can cause us to go the wrong direction. Unanswered prayer. These are just a few that can affect your feelings and take you off course on your journey or your life. Our life is a journey. It's a journey of faith and not of feelings. You know, I had to think of the early sailors. They had a reference point. And first, the early sailors, they would stay within the distance of the side of land as their reference point because they didn't want to get out too far. They didn't know where they were going. Then they had the reference point of the North Star. And that they could only see during the nighttime, the sun during the day, but during the nighttime, they could chart their course with the help of the North Star. But, you know, as technology advanced today, they have the satellites and radar. But for the Christian, your point of reference is the Word of God. That's what I'd like to bring out today. Your faith needs to rest on the Word of God. So for scripture reading, I would like to turn your Bibles to Matthew 17, verse 1 through 9. It says here, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were sore amazed. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Here you see, this was literally a mountaintop experience for the disciples. I mean, the presence of God and Moses and Elijah talking with the Lord Jesus. This was, you could almost say, an out of this world experience, mountaintop experience. Peter, he was so excited about this. His emotions high, he suggested right away about building a tabernacle here. I'm not sure what was all going through his mind, but I think it must have been something that he really enjoyed. I mean, it was like a high experience for him, a tabernacle, either to stay there or then to come back periodically and have this same experience, this visitation from heaven coming down on the mountain. We could just go here once a week. We could just come here and we could have these tabernacles and we could wait here. But, of course, then things changed when this voice came out of heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." And fear came to his heart, the emotion of fear. But after everything was over, there was Jesus. That's the way it should be, shouldn't it? When we have whatever experience we have, is it the mountaintop or is it the valley? After it's over, it's always, there is Jesus. Do we get our eyes fixed on him? Just like Peter did when he was on the sea, stepped out in the boat, and the waves came up. He saw the waves, but then he began to sink and his eyes fastened on Jesus. That's really where your faith needs to be anchored for your life to come out right, is always anchored in Christ and his word. Because here God says, hear ye him. So there's a song that goes like this. It's probably a song you've heard or maybe even sing at times as a family. Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change and you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith. You're never alone. For the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, he'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God of the night. We talk of faith when we're up on the mountain. Oh, but the talk comes so easy when life's at its best. But it's down in the valley of trials and temptations. That's when faith is really put to the test. There's a quote by Max Lucado. It says, "When you can't trace his hand, trust his heart." I really like that. There's times that things come into your life that affect your feeling and you have questions. Why? Why? Why am I in this valley? Why did this happen? You have no answers. You can't go through the Word of God and this is why. But God, you have to trust his heart. That God works all things well. He makes all things beautiful in his time. And he has, the Bible would tell us, Jesus would say, he even knows the very hair of the number of your hair on your head. That's quite detailed. But that takes faith to trust him and believe. Then on verse 14 through 21, the following day, Jesus and these three disciples, they come down back on planet Earth, you could say, where the rubber meets the road. They're off the mountain. What do they meet? It says here, as soon as they came down on verse 14, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, and oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft in the water. And I brought him to thy disciples when they could not cure him." Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither." And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast them out?" Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." Well, the next day we see the disciples struggling with unbelief. Jesus notice Jesus responds. They could have said, "Well, it must not be God's will that he be healed." They could have turned to that route. But when Jesus comes on the scene, we see his response. He says, "O faithless and perverse generation." It seems Jesus, while walking among men, was often grieved and rebuked the disciples for their lack of faith. And when he saw great faith demonstrated, he was not grieved, but blessed. And he called people's attention to it. So that is always has been a challenge to me. And may it be to you likewise. I believe, but Lord, help thou mine unbelief. Here he says in verse 18, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed. I've often wondered, I don't know what your thoughts is, as a grain of mustard seed. Jesus uses this terminology a number of times, the mustard seed. But there's also times when he uses it for the kingdom of God. When he says, but when he uses it for the kingdom of God, he says, like a mustard seed. Here he says, as a mustard seed. So there is a difference. Because when you think, well, if I could just have if you think about it as the size of the seed, well, don't we even have the faith the size of a mustard seed? But I don't believe that's what he's talking about here. Here I think he's talking about the character and the nature of the mustard seed to its environment and not the size of the seed. How though it is a tiny seed, it is hardy and durable, difficult to crush. That's the type of faith that God is looking for, you know. A faith that's difficult to crush. The enemy can't crush it. If I come bringing something against you that affects your feelings, can't be crushed. It's heat resistant, very much. Water don't drown it. It sprouts and grows in harsh environments and develops to a mature tree. Well, that's what Jesus is looking for when he says about as a grain of mustard seed. It may start as a small, tiny seed, but it's not to stay there. He wants to see it grow. Then I heard this story about the mustard seed. There was a seed that was under a rock. Another thing I want to say is it is the only seed that is documented that it can germinate without the sunlight. I found that interesting. And I heard a story that the mustard seed that was under a large rock germinated there. I guess the seed must have fell down through a crack. It grew up through this rock with a 15-foot crack in the rock. And think of all the resistance that it faced as it grew up through the rock, not seeing sunlight at all. It grew, pressing up through the rock, came out the top, then it grew another 30 feet. That was the mustard seed. That is how our faith is to grow and mature in an environment that is hostile against faith today. And it really has always been an environment that is hostile because you have an enemy that seeks to destroy your faith. He does not want to be glorified, God to be glorified, but your faith honors and glorifies God. So, thinking of faith and feelings, let's look at another example just back in Matthew 15, verse 21 and 28. This is the Canaanite woman's faith. I'm sure this is a story you're probably familiar with. This is a story that just always blesses me and challenges me, this woman's faith. Let's look at it. Says, verse 21, Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. I mean, she had a desperate need. Somehow she found out about this Lord, this Jesus that could do miracles. Surely he can help me. She went after him as he departed into the coasts. Maybe she was just waiting for him, you know, so she could be alone with him. He was so busy with when he was at these other places. And as they were walking with his disciples, here comes this woman, pressing in with a need. What did she meet? Verse 23 says, And he answered her not a word. Silence. Isn't that a disappointment? You know, sometimes you pray, silence. You know what that's like? You know, God doesn't just all at once show up like he did up on the mountain or some other experience that you had one time. This can affect your feelings. Are you going to press in like this Canaanite woman did, this Gentile woman? I'm not giving up. Remember the mustard seed faith? It's not given up, even though it's way down and down underneath that rock. It's alive. Is your faith alive this morning? God wants to see it grow and mature. So this woman, yeah, she was met with silence. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. First she was with silence. Then she heard this. I don't know if she heard that or not. The disciples moving over to him. Get rid of this lady. She's a pest. You know, and the disciples weren't under the influence yet of the Jewish culture very much. And she was a Gentile. So they didn't have much sympathy for her. If she was a Jew, maybe they would have had more sympathy for her. But a Gentile, no. Lord, tell her to leave us. So that was another obstacle. Jesus went along with it. Says here, verse 24, he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the house of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So it seems kind of like Jesus was going along with the disciples' thought, but I think Jesus knew in her heart. I know the Lord Jesus knew what he would do for this woman. So the next thing she faces is rejection. Rejection. What does she do? What is her reaction? What is going on inside of her? Her response, I appreciate so much. She just humbled herself. Says she came. So she just drew a little bit closer. She just came. And you can see her just falling down in front of Jesus again. And she worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Her plea continues. That's what faith does. It doesn't give up. It's an enduring faith. She's not going by her feelings here. She's, Lord, I need help for my daughter. So she just continues to press in. Verse 26 says, and he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. You know, that you could almost think is another form of rejection. Now it's her race. She is part, that's a little bit how the Jews, the disciples, would have looked at the Gentiles as dogs. As her race being that of a dog. But, you know, notice, she was not offended. She was not offended. She just, yes, Lord. And responded in humility, saying, the dogs eat the crumbs that come from the master's table. You know, faith is the victory, right? The Bible says that's what the Bible would teach us. Faith is the victory. Not feelings is the victory. Caleb and Joshua, what was their victory? Faith. It seemed the other spies came back, they murmured and complained. God does not respond to that. He's displeased with it. They were all wrapped up in their feelings and emotions when the spies came back from the land of Canaan. And they gave a negative report. Faith cannot grow under those circumstances. Even faith cannot grow under the circumstance of self-pity. This woman could have been wrapped up with self-pity, but she wasn't. She just pressed in further. She had faith of a grain of mustard seed. And it came up through. And she got the victory. Praise the Lord. Says, she just said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, there's many of these examples that we would have in the Bible, the scriptures. People that walked by faith and others that got mixed up in their feelings and got tripped up. This woman is a wonderful example, even though she was a Canaanite woman, she was a Gentile woman, she was one of faith. That inspires me every time I read the story. And John the Baptist. Just a few thoughts on John the Baptist. You know his story. He was the mighty preacher, anointed with the Holy Ghost. That was telling the people, preaching repentance. And people were coming to him, repenting of their sins. Yeah, there were some of the religious elite. They thought, well, everybody's going out there. We need to go out there too and see what's going on. But they didn't respond to his message. They went out pure by pure pressure. But there was the common folks. They repented when they heard John preach. John told them about Jesus, the Messiah. And when he saw him, he said, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. With confidence and with assurance. Then in the same time, he says, and I bear record that this is the Son of God. Yeah. Seems like he was on a mountaintop. Things were happening for the kingdom of God. He was excited about that. But all at once, he ended up in prison. Prison. Dungeon. I don't know how much food he got. That's not a good, pleasant place to be. But you know the story in Luke chapter 7, 18 and 19. He sends two of his disciples to Jesus. Would you ask him, is he the one that should come, or do we look for another one? That tells you, gives you a little bit of insight what was going on in John's, the Baptist's heart and life. God bless him, but he faced the valley in the prison. Lord, are you the one, or should I look for another one? And that very time it says that Jesus did many miracles and healed many sick. And he told his disciples, John's disciples, go back and tell John what you've seen and heard. Blessed is whoever is not offended in me, doesn't stumble because of me. That's what the message. So they came back to John, and John just had to continue to believe. Trust. This is the man, even though I stay in the jail. Jesus didn't work some miracle to bring him out, did he? No. John the Baptist was murdered. But he just entered glory when that happened. Just a thought on John the Baptist. 2 Corinthians 7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. This is Paul's testimony and exhortation to the believers. Faith in what? In God, in Jesus Christ and His Word. That is our accurate, unchanging standard of reference. In good times, and in difficult times. Mountaintop experiences and valley experiences. Jesus said to the disciples, and it's recorded in all the Gospels, but something that sunk into their hearts, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Your feelings is something that will pass away. But the Word of God remains unchanged forever. It is yea and amen. So it's a safe place to trust Jesus. I'd like to encourage you with that this morning. He's trustworthy. Jesus is trustworthy. He rose from the dead. He walked on the water. He rose other people from the dead. He healed the sick. And when he says something, I want to encourage you. He's trustworthy. Trust him this morning. Don't go by your feelings. Don't be led by your feelings. To illustrate, I thought of an airplane pilot. Who is trained to fly his airplane depending, having faith in his instruments. That is very important if you want to be a pilot. If you want to just, you can fly by sight. But to fly by instrument, and when you fly at night or in weather conditions that are cloudy, foggy, you need to be instrument rated or it won't end well. An airplane pilot that is not instrument rated is limited, very limited, when and where he can fly. You could say he is a fair weather pilot. He can fly, he's a good pilot, but limited when he can fly. In cloudy, overcast skies and in darkness, he doesn't fly, like a hobby flyer. To be able to fly safely in all kinds of weather, in clouds, fogs, rain, darkness, to fly and to land safely, you must become instrument rated. He must develop a unique skill that will allow their instruments to become a substitute when normal vision is not possible. He must have a faith in those instruments that become the way to fly. They become reality. So, as an IFR pilot, if he feels he is turning, you know, he's flying through cloud cover, and in those times, the way I understand, you don't know whether you're going down, whether you're sideways. Your feelings can get you all messed up in a cloud. So you need your instruments, and you go by your instruments. You don't go trust your feelings in an airplane when you're in thick clouds. He believes the instruments. He checks his instruments. Then his vision overrides the false sensation. Then they fly in complete safety. Even in bad weather, he completely relies on his instruments. Therefore, he's able to land safely. Psalms 119, 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." A lamp unto my feet, it lights up what is around me. A light unto my path, what is ahead of me. That is what the Word of God does to you as a believer, to anybody that will look into His Word. A pilot's desire is always to arrive safely. And I think that's everybody's desire here today, isn't it? To arrive safely home. Trust Jesus. Trust the Word of God. Let that, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, navigate your life, not your feelings, in those dark times in life, in the valleys. So, in conclusion, Peter, we started out about Peter's experience on the mountaintop. Jesus told them, don't tell anybody about this until after the resurrection. Peter didn't really understand everything, but maybe he couldn't hardly keep from telling all his friends about it. But afterwards, how did Peter look at that experience? It says here in 1 Peter, three to nine. Okay, it's in 2 Peter. 1 Peter was where it says about the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold, that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love. So you don't see him, but you love him. In whom though ye see him not, yet you believe. You don't see him, yet you believe. You know, that's a real stumbling block to many today. Well, if he would just show up. Well, if I could just see this evidence or that evidence. But for here he says, though you don't see him, yet believing, yet trusting, continuing to trust. He rejoiced with joy unspeakable. See, that will come. But you need to continue to believe. And full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And it was 2 Peter where he says about 1:16, about his experience on the mountain. For we have not followed cunning devised fables, which usually most times stem from people's feelings, someone's feelings, those cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now he's referring to the time up on the mountain when the glory of God was revealed. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Peter remembered that. Yeah, I'm writing to you about it. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Notice what he says in the next verse, 19. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn. The day star arise in your hearts. A more sure word of prophecy? What is it? Knowing this first, that the prophecy of the Scripture is of knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, meaning it's not something that came by the will of man, but is something that came from God. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That is the more sure word of prophecy. That is your point of reference that you need to be anchored to today and always. For it to come out right. Now there's something out of the streams and desert. Streams in the desert, I'd like to read with you. Then I'll turn the time over to Brother James. There are degrees of faith. At one stage of a Christian experience, we cannot believe unless we have some sign of great manifestation of feeling. We feel our fleece like Gideon, and if it is wet, we are willing to trust God. This may be true faith, but it is imperfect. It always looks for feeling or some token besides the Word of God. It marks quite an advance in faith when we trust God without feeling. It is blessed to believe without having any emotion. And there's at times is that way. There is a stage of faith which even transcends that of Gideon and his fleece. The first phase of faith believes when there are favorable emotions. The second believes when there is the absence of feelings. And the third form of faith believes God and his word when circumstances, think of the Canaanite woman, the Gentile woman, circumstances, emotions, appearances, people, and human reasons urge all to the contrary. That is the faith Canaanite woman had. Everything was contrary to it. Yet she pressed in. She had that mustard seed faith. Remember that. She got the victory. Faith is the victory for you and me today. Didn't change. It doesn't change with time. It was for them back then, the saints of old. And it is still for you and me today. Keep your faith anchored in the most trusted source, but the most rejected source in the world today, by the world. And it's because it is the truth. It's the Word of God.